Okay, today's daf is daf Zayin. We left off in the middle of daf Vav Amud Beis. We're in the middle of one of the Yesodistic Machlokasim about how one pays back when one does the Nezek. So we've discussed the Avos Nezikin, the Toldos of Nezikin. Now we have to know that, and we've discussed the Isser of Mazik even, but now we have to figure out exactly how one goes about paying back for a nezek. So the pasuk says, "Metav sedeu, metav karmu yishalim," that you pay back from the best. Question is, what does it mean you pay back from the best? So we had a machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel said, "Metav sedeu shel nizik, umetav karmo shel nizik," that it's the nizik's best that you pay back. Meaning, if the mazik happens to have a lot of different levels of properties, and some of them are worth way more, much higher quality than the nizik's properties, so you don't have to worry about those that are much higher quality than the nizik's properties. You just pay back from the best that the nizik has. You find something of equal or greater value or equal or greater quality than what the nizik has, and that's what you pay back. Whereas Rabbi Kiva says, no, lo ba kasuv of ella ligvos nizakin mina idis v'kavachom la hegdish. So Rabbi Kiva has this cryptic statement where he says, no, we're only coming to say that you're supposed to pay for damages from the idis and then certainly for hegdish. So what did that mean? So the Gemara has suggested that Rabbi Akiva, when he sees the pasuk metav sedeu, metav karmo yishalem, he says metav sedeu, metav karmo means the mazik shayminan, that we evaluate based on the mazik's best. When the Torah says you have to pay back from the best, it doesn't mean pay back from the best of what the nizik has, something that's equal to the best of what the nizik has. You pay back with the best of what, from the best of what the mazik has. So the Gemara we left off is about to explain where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva each got their din, meaning they each translate the word metav differently. Rabbi Shmuel saying it means metav dinizik, and Rabbi Akiva saying it means metav dimazik. Question is, where do they know that from? How do they know what the word metav meant? So we're about 15 lines before the end of the page. Last one line is derebi. We're up to the second to last word, my time is derebi Shmuel. So what's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel? Where does he get the idea that bidinizik shayminan, that we evaluate based on what is considered the best of the nizik? So says the Gemara, Nemar Sada L'matav, Nemar Sada L'mala. The word Sada appears twice in the Parsha. It says, Metav Sadehu Yishalem. So whose Sada is Sadehu, his field? Well, we look before when it talks about the actual Hezek being done. Whose Sada is the Hezek actually being done? And the Pasuk says, Ubir Bistei Acher, that the hezek is done in Sdei Acher, in someone else's field. So obviously the field where the hezek is being done is the nizik's field. So if the word sada, when it talks about the hezek, is talking about in the nizik sada, so the word sada, when it talks about the payment for the nezek, is going to be in the nizik sada. It's going to be the evaluation based on the field of the nizik. Ma sada amr lamala de nizik, av sada amr lamata de nizik. So that's the simple limud. Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva would respond, no, metav sadehu umetav karmo yishalem tehech tekamishalem. It says he should pay from his best and from his best fields and from his best vineyards. So don't look at a previous pasuk to figure out whose sada we're talking about. Figure out who the he is in this pasuk. When it says yishalem, it doesn't say yishalem amazik. The mazik should pay from the best and from. No, it says yishalem, and it's obvious that he should pay means the mazik should pay. So too, it should therefore be equally obvious that when we say he should pay from his best fields, it means the mazik's best fields. Rabbi Shmuel would respond, Rabbi Shmuel would say, look, it says Sada Lamata, it says Sada Lamala, we have to be able to use some sort of Gzeira Shava. There's a Gzeira Shava of Sada Sada over here. We're supposed to use it in some way. And I agree, the Pasuk also has this limud. Yishalem means he should pay, sounds like it's talking about the Mazik. Rabbi Shmuel would say there's room for both drashos to be correct in different circumstances. Meaning he says, Bishlam al-Didi, according to my Shita, that you're going to evaluate based on the Nizik, because of that Gzeira Shava of Sada Sada, I'll tell you when we apply the Gzeira Shava of Sada Sada, and I'll tell you when we apply the drasha from the pasuk of Yishalem Dehech to Kamishalem. That's simply as follows. Ahani Gzeira Shava Vahanikra, both the Gzeira Shava and the pasuk have some value. Ahani Gzeira Shava Kitaka Amina. The Gzeira Shava has value for a limud exactly like I already explained, meaning that that it teaches us that just like the field in which the damage was done was the Nizik's field, so too the field from which you evaluate, by which you evaluate what's considered the best, what's considered the idis, is going to be the Nizik's field. And Ahani Kra, where does the pasuk come in? What halacha does the pasuk come to teach me? Kigon de'isle lemazik idis viziburis. Case is, the mazik has high quality and low quality fields. V'idis lenizik, and the nizik has high quality fields. Viziburis de mazik, lo shavye ke idis de nizik. Now it happens to be the mazik's two level fields. One is much higher quality than the nizik's field, and one is lower quality than the nizik's field. So now what do you pay? Do you pay from your own idis, which is much higher quality than the nizik's idis? Or do you pay from your lower quality field, which isn't quite as much as the nizik's idis? So the mishalim le'mimetav didei. You can't give the nizik your lower quality field if it does not equal his higher quality field, because by right, Rabbi Shmuel holds, the Gezeirah Shavah teaches us, he has the right to collect from his best. So if he has the right to collect from his best, and you have something that's more valuable than his best, you can stick him with something that's less valuable than his best. So in that case, we're going to say b'demazik sheminan. Give the idis of the mazik, right? The mishalim meitav didei. He pays from his own best. The mazik pays when it says the hechta kamishalim. Who's idis? The idis of the one who's paying. Ta'at gabi miziburis. You can't tell the guy, come and collect from the ziburis. Elagavi mimetav. You have to give him from the metav. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, I understand, Rabbi Akiva. Yes, the hechta kamishalim. You have a drasha in the pasuk that you pay the best of the person who's paying. It's the best fields of the person who's paying. But that's limited to a very specific circumstance. Meaning we have a gzeirah shavah that teaches us the general rule, and the general rule is you pay from the metav of the nizik. This is limited to a very very limited circumstance where the mazik has these two level fields. None of them match perfectly with the nizik's field. One is better, one is worse. Now it says Tosos, Gan Shaisa idis de nizik is iburis de mazik. No, that's going something else. Okay, we'll go ahead. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Lo ba kasav el ligvos li nizakin min ha'idis, v'kal v'chomer lahegdish. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the Torah is telling me that you should collect the words of Rabbi Akiva. We later explain that Rabbi Akiva meant that when he says, when the Torah says, Meitav, b'demazik sheminan. But those weren't Rabbi Akiva's words. Rabbi Akiva's words were, Lo ba kasav el ligvos li nizakin min ha'idis, v'kal v'chomer lahegdish. That the Torah is only coming to teach me that you collect from the idis when it comes to damages, and kal v'chomer for hegdish. So my kal v'chomer hegdish. What does he mean kal v'chomer for hegdish? Kal v'chomer for hegdish. What? What happened with hegdish? And what are we saying about hegdish? So ilem et nagach tur didal natur de hegdish. If you want to tell me that the case is that Rabbi Akiva is referring to is your ox gores an ox of hegdish, well that's not true. And therefore Rabbi Akiva is telling me you pay from the idis when your ox gores an ox of hegdish. No, but the Torah specifically talks about when it says chig of shor ish. What does it say? When your ox gores, it's as sharei ehu. It gores the shor of your friend, and we darshin that the whole halacha only applies when it's sharei ehu, but not when it's shor shel hegdish. When the shor belongs to hegdish. So you can't be telling me that you pay me meitav when your ox gores an ox of hegdish. You're totally patur when your ox gores an ox of hegdish because it's a special even in the pasuk that the whole parsha of your ox doing damage doesn't apply when it damages a shor shel hegdish. So the case must be that you say that you are that you owe money to Bedek Abayis to pay for Bedek Abayis. The Asi, the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, the Asi Gizbar v'shakal me'idis. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying, that when you owe money to Hegdish, not because you damaged Hegdish. That's where Hegdish is excluded from the parsha of Nezikin. But you owe money to Hegdish some because you owe money to Hegdish. You made a pledge to Hegdish, so you owe money to Hegdish. So then the Gizbar of Hegdish is allowed to come and collect from your idis. So but that can't be, because lo yehi el balchov, balchov bebeninus. The gizbar of hegdish is only balchov, and the balchov is supposed to collect from the beninus. So says the Gemara, v'chi tema sover Rabbi Akiva kol balchov nami be'idis. How do you know Rabbi Akiva holds that? Maybe Rabbi Akiva thinks balechov collect from the idis, and balchov does not collect from the beninus, and that's exactly Rabbi Akiva's point over here. Everyone else thinks that a balchov collects from the beninus, but I'm going to tell you, kal v'chomer la hegdish, if for nezikin, when you damage someone else, you're going to pay from the idis. So when you owe money, when you you're a bal chov, when you have a chov to hagdish, so then you're going to pay from the yiddis as well, just like every other bal chov would pay from the yiddis. Because ikal mifrach mal bal chov shekin yafa kocha ben izakin torn behagdish shahur kocha ben izakin. But even if Rabbi Akiva held every bal chov pays from yiddis, it wouldn't necessarily mean that it's a kal v'chomer that a bal chov to hagdish also would get from the yiddis, because we find that obligations toward other people sometimes exceed obligations toward Hagdish. I mean, they are much more strict than the obligations you have toward Hagdish. Where do we find that? By damaging. When you damage other people, we know you pay from the Yiddish. When you damage Hagdish, you pay nothing. So you can't tell me, well, when it comes to Baal Chov, if I owe other people money, I got to pay from the Yiddish. So Kal V'Chomer for Hagdish, when I owe Hagdish money, I have to pay from the Yiddish. That's a terrible Kal V'Chomer. Because we find that by Hagdish, sometimes the payment is not as severe as when you pay other people. So what in the world is he talking about when he says Kal V'Chomer to Hagdish? So the Olam did Nagach Tur Didan L'Tur Hagdish. The case is, your ox scores an ox of Hagdish. But didn't we say that there's a special drasha of the pasuk that teaches me that when your ox scores an ox shel hegdish, a shor shel hegdish, you don't pay? So Rabbi Kiva, some like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Kiva disagrees with that. He holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, Omer shor shel hegdish, nogach shor shel hegdish, potter. That if an ox of hegdish gores your ox, Hegdish is potter from paying, but Shoshal Hegdish, Shnagah Shoshal Hegdish, Bein Tamim Bein Muam Shalim Nezek Shalim. But if your ox scores an ox of Hegdish, whether it's more strict, whether it's a Shartam, whether it's a Sharmuad, you're always going to pay Nezek Shalim. Meaning we treat damage done to Hegdish more severely, more strictly than we would treat damage done to another person. So that's what Rabbi Akiva is telling me. Kal v'chomer l'hegdish, if a mazik pays for iddis, then a mazik is going to pay for iddis when he damages. Kal v'chomer is going to pay for iddis when he damages Hegdish. Now, along the way of trying to explain what in the world Rabbi Akiva meant, the Gemara's first havamina, which is what it went back to at the end, was ilema denagach tura didan l'tura dehegdish. That when Rabbi Akiva says a mazik pays from Idis and therefore kal v'chomer l'hegdish, the first thing that came to our mind is your shar gores a shar shel hegdish. Frekt Rashi, why pick that example? Hezek can happen in so many different ways. Hezek, first of all, my shar doesn't have to gore a shar shel hegdish. Second of all, when I do damage, it doesn't have to be my shar. We have a whole bunch of avos nezikin. Why dafka the example of shar? Of all the examples to pick, of my, just say I damage hegdish. Why is it my shar goring the shar shel hegdish? So if you look at Rashi, shar reyo amarachmanu, v'lo shar shel hegdish, the hegdish, tim nagach shar shel hegdish pater, v'hu adin l'kol shar nezikin. First says Rashi, you should know this is not only a din in shar, this is a din in any other type of nezek. Shem mazik es hegdish pater, that if you do damage to hegdish, you are pater. And it's all learned from that pasuk. Lishna achrina, however, another explanation, lahachi nakat shar hagdish, v'lo moki labachilas behemtos de hagdish. Why do we pick an example that your ox scores a shar shal hagdish, not your ox goes into a field of hagdish and damages the field? Isn't that a more likely case, that there's a field, that hagdish owns a field and your animal just goes into it and damages that? So why don't we talk about that? Says Rashi, because that's impossible. Mishum t'vol mishkachet, I mean, that's impossible to say that if that happens, that you're not going to have to pay. Mishum t'vol mishkachet, you're not going to find such a case. If the sada is set aside for the kohanim, then it's like a field that belongs to a regular guy. Then you won't be able to apply kal v'chomer l'hegdish. And let's say you have a hegdish owns a field that's meant to pay for bedek habayis. There's a gizmer supposed to sell it to pay for bedek habayis or to pay for anything, or someone's makdish's field. What do? Podeila alter or mochnos al alter. Either the one who was makdish it redeems it right away for money, or the gizbar is supposed to sell it right away to somebody else, the acher. And then when it goes out at Yovel, it goes back to the Kohanim. It doesn't go back to the original owner. And if you damage it before your podit, so if you damage it after your podit, it doesn't belong to Hagdish. There's nothing to talk about you damaging a field of Hagdish. But if you damage it before it was nifta, well, we have a rule, there's no mi'ilah b'karkos. So the whole idea of it being considered being mol behagdish doesn't apply. So why do we pick the example of your shard goring a shard shel hagdish? We can't talk about your shard doing damage to anything else of hagdish, to a field of hagdish, which would be the only case that's more common than your shard goring a shard shel hagdish. So we're not going to pick a case of a field because it doesn't exist. So we pick a case of your shard goring a shard shel hagdish. But Rashi says at the beginning, this is not only a din in shard, this is a din in any nezek that's done to hegdish. When you are mazik hegdish, when your shard is mazik hegdish, so you're going to be pater based on this drasha from the pasuk. Right, so okay, good. It says Tosfos, Sharei Ehu Tema, Volukma B'Shein V'Regel Shizikas Hegdish. Again, same kasha. Why are we talking about Stam, Shor, that it's Karen, that he gores? Talk about Shein V'Regel that's Mazik Hegdish. Tahasim Lok Sivrei Ehu, Umi Karen Lekel Melaf. And he says, Adarabba, not only would that work over here, you wouldn't have the teretz for why you can't say that this is what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. I mean, the Gemara starts out by saying, Rabbi Akiva, when he said, Kavachom Lehegdish, must have meant your shard gores a shard shel hegdish. Then the Gemara said, no, that doesn't work, because when your shard gores a shard shel hegdish, you're going to be pater. So says Tosos, why don't we say your shard eats hegdish food? And then you're not going to be able to say your pater, because there's no such drasha of sharei ehu velo shard shel hegdish when it comes to eating hegdish's food. So that would be a good answer that the Gemara could stick with. The Gemara wouldn't have to reject it and fetch out that Rabbi Akiva is going like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh at the end. The Gemara could have really stuck with that answer. You can't learn it from Karen, because Karen is different in that it's not muad mitchila. You wouldn't even be able to derive it from the Gzer Shav of Tachas Nesinu Yishalim Kesef to Lo Neskabla Elin Tashlumei Metav, because Tachas Nesinu Yishalim Kesef only teaches us of what level you're supposed to pay, that you're supposed to pay Mimetav. It doesn't teach us all of the halachos. It doesn't teach us halachos of who it applies to, who it doesn't apply to, whether you pay Tachas Nesinu Yishalim Kesef doesn't work for all the other halachos. How do I know it doesn't work for all the other halachos? Di'ilu kol mili lived through kulu mitamun uber shosarabim v'kelim upsulei mukdashin. If Tachas Nesinu Yishalim Kesef worked to teach us all the dinim, then there would be no unique dinim for each of the avos nezikin. If you recall, the Gemara said, why does the Torah have to write out each of the avos nezikin? Can't we learn some from the other? The Gemara said, no, each av nezikin has its own unique dinim. Eish is pater on tamun. It's pater on things that are hidden. Well, if you were allowed to use Tachas Nesinu Yishalim Kesef to learn dinim from one av nezikin to all the others, so then bar mava hever, they should all be pater on tabun. Then you should apply all those dinim to all the avos nezikin. But we don't. They each have their unique dinim. So this din of sharei of lo shor shel hagdish also only applies when it's Karen, when the damage is done through Karen, when the damage is done through goring. If the damage is done through Shein V'Regel, there is no patur of Hegdish. So why doesn't the Gemara say that's what Rabbi Akiva is talking about? Shtar Kakasha, Tosus asks. Says Tosus, Yeshomer Dekulim Nezikin Paturin BaHegdish. So Tosus says, like Rashi alluded to, he says all types of damage that the Shor does is Pater BaHegdish. How do I know? K'demuch B'Yerushalmi B'Reish HaNizakin. That it's clear in the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Perek HaNizakin, the Kamer Hasam B'Me'an An'Kaimin. Ibehach Shanizakin HaTanina Shorei Avlo Shoshal HaGdish V'Ibinizke Gufa HaTanina Rebichia Nizakin LaHedyot V'Nizakin LaGvoa. So the Yerushalmi makes it very clear that this is that from whatever drasha the Yerushalmi has, that this applies, that this halacha applies across the board by all of them. So because we have these drushas in Yerushalmi, so that's how we know that's why the Gemara over here can't suggest that Rabbi Kiva was talking about other types of nizakin, because they're all going to follow the same din as Karen follows. Okay, so again, just to summarize, the Gemara had said, what does Rabbi Akiva mean when he says kal v'chomer lahegdish? The Gemara went through a number of possibilities, but in the end of the day went back to the original possibility that we're talking about your ox goring an ox shel hegdish, and the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is that unlike the the drasha that sharei v'lo shor shel hegdish, unlike the drasha that tells me that you're pater when your ox damages an ox shel hegdish, Rabbi Akiva holds, like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, that when your ox scores an ox shel hegdish, you're always going to have to pay me meitav, even if it's tam mu'ad, you pay nezek shalom meitav. That there is no exemption when your ox scores an ox shel hegdish. But the majority opinion in the Gemara seems to be that, not like Rabbi Akiva, sharei v'lo shor shel hegdish, your ox scores an ox shel hegdish, you can be pater, and both Rashi and Tosfos say that not only a pater when your ox gores, it's also patur in other types of nezek that your ox does, whether it be shein, regel, any other type of nezek the ox does. If it does it to hegdish, generally it's going to be patur. But again, that patur is something Rabbi Kiva does not agree with. So, frak the Gemara, ihachi Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, mi might be idus the nezek v'ziburus tamazik pligi. But wait a second, if Rabbi Kiva's whole chiddush is that when your ox scores an ox shel hegdish, you're going to have to pay mi meitav and nezek shalim and all that. How do we know that the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is about whether it be the nizik shayminan, be the mazik shayminan, whose field we evaluate when determining the meitav sadehu? Maybe Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel about whose fields we evaluate, that we only evaluate the Nizik's fields, we're not interested in the Mazik's fields. What's Rabbi Akiva coming to debate Rabbi Shmuel on? Only that point about what happens when your ox scores a shor shel hegdish. Rabbi Akiva suffered from Shem Meminasi, Rabbi Akiva also from Shem Meminasi, that they pay Nezek Shalim, Bein Tam, Bein Mord, you pay Nezek Shalim, you made that. And Rabbi Shmuel suffered from Rabbanan. And Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan, that you're pater, shareo, v'lo shor shel hegdish. Meaning, again, Rabbi Akiva never said, b'demazik sheminan. Rabbi Akiva never said those words, as far as we know up until this point. All Rabbi Akiva said is, no, lo ba Torah, ella ligvos v'nizak min edis. No, Rabbi Shmuel, you're wrong, because the Torah only tells me that you collect damages from the edis and kal v'chomer l'hegdish. That's all he said. So maybe in terms of determining what is edis, he agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. It's the kal v'chomer l'hegdish part that he disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel about. So says Gemara, no, it doesn't sound that way, because in Cain, my lo ba hakasav. Why would he use the phrase lo ba hakasav? It sounds like he's not just arguing about some other din when you damage hegdish. He's arguing about pshat and pasuk. Pasuk says when you damage, you pay me meitav sadehu. Rabbi Shmuel says pshat and pasuk is that you evaluate what's called meitav based on the nizik's meitav. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, the pasuk's teaching me something else. If he's telling me the pasuk's teaching me something else, he must disagree about what the word meitav means. Va'od, and furthermore, my kal v'chomer lahegdish. Why would he use the phrase kal v'chomer lahegdish? Why would it be a kal v'chomer lahegdish? What does that mean? Why would it be a kal v'chomer lahegdish? So says Rashi, my kal v'chomer lahegdish. Holum in itis to come Rabbi Akiva anizikai ulakule asa. If Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel's kula that if you have exceedingly valuable fields and the nizik doesn't, you only have to pay the highest level of fields that the nizik has, and not your own highest level fields, which are much more valuable, it's a tremendous kula. It's a tremendous kula for the mazik that he doesn't have to pay from his highest quality stuff. So if Rabbi Akiva is coming to tell me a kula, the yavle mazik miziburis, my kal v'chomer lahegdish. Why would you say kal v'chomer, therefore, that for hegdish you would also have to do that? Griusa havi. That's it's a kula you just came to teach me. So why? How could you say kal v'chomer lahegdish? Rabbi Akiva yafa kochod hegdish binizakin damar dafilu avi mazik tam shakal hegdish nezik shalim v'nafkalim ereehu. Rabbi Akiva would say that hegdish is much more than for damage, because even if the mazik is a short time, you pay nezek shalim by hegdish, right? As opposed to when you just damage somebody else, you would only pay chatzi nezek. So if you look at Tosos, Michael v'chom lehegdish, he quotes Rashi's pshat, and he says, I don't get what Rashi's saying. What's the problem with saying kal v'chom lehegdish? Just because Rabbi Akiva is mekel, and he says that b'denizik shamin, not b'demazik shamin. He says, first wide line of Tosos, first medium-sized line, the kashal apiru Rabbi Shmuel poter legamri mazik as hegdish. Rabbi Kiva machayv nezek shalem. So he says it's not a kula. He's coming to be machmir. I don't understand what kula we're talking about. Rabbi Kiva's ikar point that he's disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel is that Rabbi Shmuel says when you damage hegdish you're totally poter, and Rabbi Kiva says you damage hegdish you have to pay nezek shalem. So what's he talking about? A kula? What, the fact that he says that b'denizik sheminan linin meitav nami chashivus l'mishalim meitav denizik v'lo migrua denizik? That's not a kula that you evaluate by the nizik. You're not paying from the nizik's worst. You're paying from the nizik's best. So, and Rabbi Shmuel isn't any more machmir than Rabbi Kiva is on in terms of determining meitav. So there's no big kula. He's just telling me the word word metav means the metav of the nizik. So why is it so? Why? What's the big kula here? So it says Tosos. No, what the Gemara's kash is really as follows. V'nir l'ridachi perusha. Maikal v'chomer lahegdish til in chiyuva mazik behegdish behegdish lo ka'amar. So mikrad Rabbi Shimon nafka el mikrad Rabbi Shimon nafka elinian metav ka'amar v'lahavul Rabbi Kiva lahaduri Rabbi Shmuel kavachom lahegdish kivin Rabbi Shmuel hayimod b'kach ilav mishum depatulei legamri. The pasuk is about what level of payment you make. The pasuk is not about who you pay. The pasuk says metav sadeh metav karmi shalim. That's the pasuk. That's the focal point of the argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. So it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Kiva to come and say kal v'chomer lahegdish, that if you pay the metav to somebody else, then kal v'chomer you pay the metav to hegdish. Rabbi Shmuel would agree that whoever you have to pay for a damage, you have to pay from the metav. He would agree to that. That's no problem. Rabbi Shmuel just holds there's another drasha, sharei evelo shoshal hagdish. There happens to be a separate drasha that tells me that you don't have to pay hagdish. He would agree. If you were paying hagdish, of course you'd pay me metav. I agree with the kal v'chomer. If you're paying, if you do damage and you're paying me metav over here, so you pay me metav whenever there's a chiv to pay someone for damages. It happens to be by hagdish. There's a drasha that tells me otherwise. So the whole kal v'chomer doesn't really address the issue according to this way of understanding it. If Rabbi Akiva really holds b'din nizik shayminan, back in the Gemara va'od. And furthermore, if you want to tell me Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree about what metav means, that b'din nizik shayminan, and their only machlokas is about whether you pay when you damage hegdish, hamar ravashi tanya behedya metav sadeh metav karma yishalem metav sadeh shal nizik metav karma shal nizik divrei Shmuel Rabbi Akiva over metav sadeh shal mazik metav karma shal mazik. Hard to say that they're not arguing about whether you pay from the metav of the nizik and the metav of the mazik. We have our brisa that says explicitly that that's what they're arguing about. So I don't know why we held that in our back pockets till now. Meaning that would have been the lahagdil Torah lahadir, I guess. But that would have been the number one answer right there. You have it beferish in a brisa that's in fact the machlokas. Okay, says Gemara Vayta. Rami le'abay l'rava. Ksiv metav sadeh metav karmel yishalem. Metav in midiachri nilo. So it sounds from the pasuk that you dafka have to pay from the best. What does the best mean? So we had the machlokas metav shal nizik, shal mazik, but definitely the best. Vatanya, but we have another brisa, Yashiv l'rabba shavakesef afilu subit, that you're allowed to pay back anything that has any value, anything that's worth any money, that's shavakesef afilu subit, even the junk from the field, you're allowed to go and pay back. If from your grains, you're allowed to pay back. The lowest quality grain that you have, the coarse bran, whatever it is, you can pay back with that too. So it sounds like you don't have to pay back from the best. So the Gemara is going to offer four answers to this question between now and the bottom of Amud Beis. So no, answer number one, lo kasha kan. So it's all a matter of how amicable you are in terms of dealing with this person. Person says, you owe me money, you can give him whatever you want. You can give him subin. As long as you're willing to pay, pay with whatever you want. But if he's got to schlep you to court, he's got to go through the trouble of suing you, then the court's going to come down hard on you. Then they're going to make you pay from the metav. That's the difference. When it's midaito, you can pay on your terms. When it's balkarcho, when the beis has to force it out of you, it's not going to be on your terms anymore. It's going to be on their terms. Amru l'bred ravi lai, dekanami, d'chsiv yishalem balkarcho. He says, yeah, it sounds like that. Mesav zdeh, metav karmi yishalem, sounds like it's balkarcho. Amru l'abaye, miksiv yishulam, yishalem ksiv, midaito mashma. He says, no, yishalem doesn't sound like it's balkarcho. It doesn't say he's forcing him to pay. It just says he pays. It sounds like it could even be midaito. Tosfos points out that the Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Lamid uses the word Yishalem and says if the pasuk says Yishalem, how can you say it's only a midas chasidus? Which implies that Yishalem is more than a midas chasidus. That implies that Yishalem is bal karcho. So it's so Fractosos, that's against our Gemara. Over here, our Gemara is saying Yishalem sounds like it's midaito. So Tosfos says no, there's a big gap between saying bal karcho and saying that something's only a midas chasidus. What's in between forcing someone to pay and something only being a midas chasidus to pay? Someone who's chayiv to pay min adin, but doesn't have to be forced. That's in the middle. So when the Gemara Chulin says Yishalem implies that it's more than a midas chasidus, yes, it is more than a midas chasidus. It's a chiyuv to pay. You're sure damages. You damage. You have to pay Yishalem. But the tashlumen can even be when it's not being forced. Even when you're agreeing to go and do it. But when our Gemara says, and that's what our Gemara means, what the Yishalayim means, even midaito, not doesn't mean midas chasidus, it means there's a chiv to pay, but you're paying on your own terms. So says Gemara, so that answer didn't work, so we need to come up with another answer. Again, astirum psukim. One pasuk says you have to pay meitav, the other one says that you don't pay me meitav, you just pay afilu from subin. So elam Rabbi, second answer, Rabbi says kidemar. Titani, and this is going to take us a while till we get what Rabbi is getting at over here. Titani, we have a brisa. The halacha is, if someone has 200 zuz on hand, he's not allowed to collect ma'aserani. If he has 199 zuz to his name, he's allowed to collect 1,000 zuz from ma'aserani, if that's what he needs. He's only labeled as an ani when he's below that threshold of 200 zuz. Once he hits that point of 200 zuz, he's not an ani anymore. So he's not allowed to collect ma'aserani. What if you have a person who has plenty of assets, but none of them are liquid? He has a field that should be worth a lot of money. However, he can't. He's unable to sell it. He's unable to sell it for its value, and it's worth 200 zuz. So he wouldn't be an ani if he'd be able to sell the field for its value, but he's only able to sell it for less. So says the brisa machilinos a meiser ani an mechza. So we make him sell his field. If you look in Rashi, the zeh yesh lo batim sadus ukram shavim asayim zuz, about 6 lines before the end. He has fields that are worth 200 zuz. But he can't sell them. We only give him up to 100 zuz of Maiserani. The karkaos of Yimkar b'mei zuz. And then we make him sell his field for the other 100 zuz. And that way he'll have 200 zuz to his name. We're not going to give him this freebie of just give him 1,000 zuz, he's an ani. No, we don't treat him like a total ani. We give him a little bit of Maiserani. We give him 100 zuz of Maiserani. And we make him get the other 100 zuz by selling his fields. How do you know he's going to be able to sell his fields for 100 zuz? It's worth 200 zuz, but he can't sell it for 200. How do you know he'll be able to find a buyer for 100? Says that you're always able to do. Half price, you're always able to find a buyer. If it's if you can't even find a buyer for half price and it's not really worth 200 zuz, then you know that you don't really have that kind of value in the field. So because it's never going to be zol, it's never, no matter how bad the market is, it never goes below half price. The economic difficulties in terms of just explaining this economically and how markets shift is going to be the next line of the Gemara. If you're wondering, how do you determine value? It's worth 200 zuz, but no one's willing to pay for 200 zuz for it. That means it's not worth 200 zuz if no one's willing to pay. Right? So the Gemara is about to get to that. So machin also meis ra'ayin machse v'haviba mar hechidami. What's the case? If the market stinks, the market's in the toilet, everyone's property values went down, Vidide Namizol and his property value also happened, went down Ba'adayu together with everyone else's, then Afilu Tuvanami Lisfile. Give him whatever Maestroni he wants. He is poor. Everyone's property value went down. If he can't get 200 zuz for his assets, he doesn't have 200 zuz to his name. He's an ani. You should give him whatever he wants. Must be that everyone else's property value, the market's okay. Everyone else's property values are just fine. But because he's got so many different business deals where there are liens on his land and things like that, so his land is no, he can't get anyone to pay the value of his land. Then you shouldn't even give him anything. Why? Says Rashi, because his land that he owns right now happens to be worth 200 zuz. He's just a miserable businessman, and therefore people aren't going to be willing to pay him because they don't want to get involved with him. But that's a din in him. His land is worth 200 zuz. The actual value of the property, if anyone else owned this property, people would be more than happy to pay the 200 zuz. So then you shouldn't give him anything. So we say, now the case is that during the days of Nisan, his land is worth 200 zuz. During Tishrei, it's worth less. Apparently, if you buy land during Tishrei, you've lost out on the opportunity to get the produce of the land that year. So you have to wait a whole nother cycle until you're able to get the produce, and therefore property values go down in Tishrei. It happens to be Tishrei right now. So most people wait till springtime to sell their houses because it's harder to show a house when there's ice on the walkway and when there's, right, whatever the contemporary equivalent of that is, it's more difficult to sell the house at that time. So people wait till springtime where it's nice and it looks good and everyone's willing to buy. But because this guy needs the money right now, he's going to sell in today's value. That's what we're talking about when we say you give him 100 and let him sell for 100. He's never going to have to sell for less less than 50%. Ad palgo orche lemezel, tfeilav orche lemezel. Half the value, that's how much it will go down based on the season. It's never going to go down more than by more than 50%. V'hachnami gabi nizakin. So what does this have to do with us? Says Abai, same thing when it comes to damage. Dinei be'idis. Really, the halacha is, we had again, stirim psukim. One pasuk says when you do damage, you pay from the best. Meitav sadeu. Another pasuk says when you do damage, you can even pay from subin. You can even pay from the garbage. So Abai says, that's exactly what we're talking about over here. The din is, you can collect from the idis. The amrlei iu havli beinis tfei porta. Let's say for whatever reason, the nizik says, you know what? I really would prefer your beinis field. It's a better location for me. Whatever reasons he has, he would prefer the Beinus. So he says, give me Beinus and just give me a little extra, a little larger piece of land to make up for the fact that you're not giving me Idis. So he says, look, if you want to collect what I owe you from the Beinus, it's fine. Collect it at today's values. But otherwise, I'm going to tell you, if you don't want to collect what you're supposed to get, then fine, I'll give you the piece of land that you want, but we're not going to do the evaluation based on what it's worth right now. We're going to do the evaluation based on what it's going to be worth in Nisan, when the prices are up. So basically, I'm going to give you less land. If you want to put, if you want to negotiate with me, you want to play hardball, you want it on your terms, you want something that's not really your halacha, you want to collect from Beinus when you're supposed to be collecting from Idis, yeah, fine. But the way we're going to evaluate the Beinus is going to be based on the future prices. So that's the answer to the steer and the psukim. Yeah, the din is, meyikra din, you pay me meitav. However, sometimes you could pay a filu subin if, subin meaning the lower, you can give him a higher evaluation of the field, which would hurt him because he's trying to pay from lower quality fields, trying to get paid from lower quality fields that are better for him. He says that doesn't make any sense. The nizik is supposed to be able to collect from your idis. The Torah tries to give him the upper hand all the way, and now you're going to tell me that even when he wants to collect a lower quality field, he shouldn't be able to do that? So that doesn't make sense. If you want to compare that whole thing about the ani and when he has fields that are worth 200 zuz in Nisan, not 200, if you want to compare it to anything, compare it to a case of balchov. Balchov dine bebeinus. The halacha is balchov collects from beinus. V'yamalei havli ziburus tfei porta. And if he wants to collect ziburus, but a little bit more, amalei shekalta kedinei shekal. If you want to take like your din, like you're supposed to collect, kedahashto, with at today's value. V'ilo shekal kiyukra del kamei. If you want to collect in your terms, so collect based on the future value, which is going to be worth a lot more. So maskav rachav brei dravika, again, imkeina alta delus b'fnei lovin. How could you give the balchov, you know, such a raw deal? You're going to make people not want to lend money. Why? A guy's going to say, wait a second. This person owes me money. Why does he owe me money? I lent him $100,000, so he owes me money. Right? I'm going to ask him, pay me back from the Ziburus field. And he's going to say, I'll pay you back from the Ziburus field, but in today's evaluations, it's really only going to be worth $80,000, and I'm going to force you to take it. Because in Nissan, it's going to be worth $100,000. I'm going to say, if I wouldn't have lent him the money, I'd be able to take my $100,000 and buy that field and more. I'd be able to buy the whole thing. So the now that I lent the money, I'm going to lose. The Amrlei ilu havu lizuzi. Had I still had the cash on hand, have a shakli kadashta, I would be able to take based on right now's evaluation. Now that I gave you the money to use for the last 6 months, I'm going to lose because of that. I'm going to have to take based on prices that aren't even around right now, based on market prices of Nissan that don't even exist right now. If you want to compare that case of the ani, compare it to a case of ksubasisha. The ksubasisha dina beziburus. A ksubasisha collects, a woman collects her ksuba from the ziburus. Let's say the woman says, you know what, I really would prefer the beininess. I'll take less, but give me beininess. I'll take even less than the Messiah says, just give me beininess. That's where you can say, okay, fine, I'll give you less, but not only am I going to give you less, I'm going to give it to you based on the future values, which is going to leave you with even less land. That's the only case that we compare the ani, the case of the ani to. But that doesn't help us with our stira, right? Mikol makom kasha. But that we're still back to our stira in psukim when it comes to nezek. When it comes to damage, we have one pasuk that that says Meitav Sadeyu, we have another pasuk that implies we're even allowed to collect from Subin. So Abaye's answer failed, right? The answer of saying that it has to do with different evaluations at different times of year, that doesn't work. So answer number three, Amar Rava, Kol Diyav Lemi Meitav Leisavlei, that whenever you give him something, it's whatever you give him from the best of that. So if you're going to give him bran, give him the best bran, right? If you're going to give him the Kellogg's Raisin Bran, whatever it is, give him whatever you're going to pay from, he has to pay from that. That's all Meitav means. Meitav doesn't mean you have to pay from your highest quality stuff. It means whatever area you're determined to pay from. If you're going to pay with the field, pay from the best field. You can pay with bran, pay with the best bran. You can pay with jelly beans, make it, what do they call it? Right, jelly bellies, right? You're going to pay from... So you always have to pay from the best of whatever it is that you're paying from. So says Gemara, no, Meitav Sadeyu. The pasuk says Meitav Sadeyu. So don't tell me that it's just the best of what you're paying from. That the pasuk says that you pay from the best of your field, whatever, meaning not the best of your wheat fields, the best of your barley field. If you pay barley, it's the best of your fields. What are you talking about? So says Gemara, fourth answer, and this is going to be the final answer. El Kiyasra of Papa Rafun Rav Yeshua Mi Bei Rav Pershua. The way they explained it is Kol Mili Meitav. Everything is considered Meitav, meaning every metaltalin is automatically considered Meitav. That if you don't sell it here, you'll be able to sell it somewhere else. Meaning some different things are valuable in different places, and as long as it's movable, as long as you can ship it somewhere else. So there are some little things, that little toys, let's say, for instance, that are just little pieces of plastic that kids flick across the floor that are valueless in a place where it's not the craze. Bring it to somewhere that it is the craze, and it becomes very, very valuable. Based on where you bring it, things are valuable. So metalton, by definition, is always metav. Levar me'ara, but land, you can't move it anywhere. So you have to give them always the best land so that people will be interested in buying it. That's the only way it's going to work. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. I got to get these sheets on time today.